Good morning, church. Good morning, New Hope. Another day of hope. Yes, I invite everybody to move forward. Today's message is rated R. It's for adults. When I say rated R, it means the message is rated because it's delivered by a rookie. It's a rookie. I am a rookie. Today, we're going to talk about Jesus lift us out of deceptions. So before we do that, I just want to ask a couple questions. Do you like deceptions? Nobody likes that, huh? Do you like to be deceived? No? Have you ever been deceived? Who has been deceived before? Or who have not been? So how do you feel when you are deceived? I don't know about you. When I was deceived, I felt anger. I felt betrayal. I'm enraged. I felt like I'm victimized. I'm embarrassed. I'm infuriated. I'm shameful. I have been intruded. And I'm victimized. I don't know how you feel when you felt you were betrayed, deceived. The word deceive first appeared in Genesis 3. So let's see how the Bible talks about deception. Today's message is about Matthew chapter 7, 13 to 23. If you have your Bible, I invite you to open to your Bible or your phone app, whatever there is, Matthew chapter 7, 13 to 23. First, we're going to talk about deceived by the world. Let's look at this scripture and let's read together. Matthew chapter 7, you either stand or sit is fine. Chapter 7, 13, let's read together. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it by are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. So how do we get deceived by the world? A lot of times you hear people say, all roads lead to heaven. Have you heard that? Nobody? All roads lead to heaven. What is it really saying? All. Is that all roads lead to heaven? So, how? Well, he said all roads lead to heaven. When all roads lead to heaven, is there hell? When you walk on all roads lead to heaven, where's hell? Then how would you go to hell? That means there's no hell. Unless you believe on this world, in this universe, there's only heaven, then all roads can go to heaven. God is inclusive. Is God inclusive? God loves people. A lot of people say God is inclusive in offering salvation. He is. But is he inclusive to people who don't know him? Let me ask you. I assume everyone has a home. Or at least you have your own room. In your own house, how do you let people in? Do you let people in when you know them? Or when a group of people stand in front of a door and press on your doorbell, and you ask them, why do you want to come in? Why don't you all decide what are the conditions that you can come into this house? Do you ever do that? I haven't done that in my home. In my home, when I open the door, when I see anyone I don't know, I will not let them in. I will only let the people who knows me to come in. And I have never asked the stranger to decide what is the condition that you can come into my home. Same as heaven. Heaven is God's home. God lives there. When we go there, we are on whose term? Whose condition? God. God is inclusive in all those who know him. If you don't know him, I don't know whether you can go into his home or not. But I know for sure if you know him, then you can go into heaven. God is inclusive. And a lot of people say, we believe there's only one God. But we believe that one God has many facets, and he speaks different languages. We can worship him in our own way. We only know one facet. So no matter we are called Muslim, we are called Jehovah Witness, we are called Mormons, Buddhists, Taoists, we worship one God. Just different facets. Is it true? When I went to see patients, a lot of people say that, yeah, they believe in one God. They believe in Jesus. But we just different facets. I said, you just want to believe in one facet. Why do you want to know the whole God? Do you want me to know me as a person, George? Or you just don't want to only know my right hand? This is the right hand of George. This is the left hand of George. This is the big toe of George. Why don't you want to know the whole God, the entire God? There's only one God. There's so many lies in the world, and we so easily fall into it. There is one God. Our God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Three persons eternally exist in one substance, one being. We need to know God to go to heaven. Don't be fooled. Our family, our friends, people we see can be fooled. Can we be fooled? Can we be deceived? There are times that we do, and I do too. Be aware. Deceived by the world. The people who are deceived by the world said, narrow gate. Gate is narrow. The way is hard. Follow Christ is hard. Follow Christ doesn't mean you'll be blessed. You could be millions and millions or maybe billions of dollars, fame, good health, long life, maybe, maybe not. Knowing God, following Jesus, is only imitate what Jesus has done for us. What has Jesus done? Out of his love for us, he willingly chose to come to earth to walk with us, to suffer with us, to feel with us. He can heal sickness in heaven. Why does he have to come to earth, go out to the lepers, touch them, embrace them, so they can be healed? Why did he come down to earth to walk with us so we can see him? It's out of his love. So out of our love, do we do things willingly willingly choose to do things for Him out of our love for Him because He loves us. Don't be deceived by the world. It's so easy. Next, we're going to talk about deceived by false teachers. Now that we know that we can be deceived by the world and the gate is so narrow, the way to the Lord is hard. Can all teachers go through the same gate? I mean Bible teachers, not your algebra teachers. Bible teachers can go through the same gate and go to heaven. Deceived by false teachers. Let's read this together. Verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing and inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits, grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. It said, oops. That's okay. Beware. The first word is beware. What does beware means? Watch out. It's just like last month, or maybe January, or maybe a couple months ago. The weather gets so cold when I drive on the road when I come to church, especially on Sunday. When I try to cross the bridge, what does it say on it? There's always usually a sign on the by the side road. Beware, watch out. Watch out for icy roads. Why does it have a sign to be there to say, watch out for ice on the road, on the bridges, on the overpasses? Why? Why does it warn you? What happens if you are not warned? What can happen if you drew on an icy road? When you drove on it, you skid. If on the ice, in the overpass, you can fly off the overpass. He said, watch out, beware, because eyes are hard to see. And you only see the road, but not the ice. Same thing as teaching. A lot of teaching seem to be true. If you don't pay attention and really watch out, those teachings can be false. I guess every one of you have read through the New Testaments. All the epistles written by Paul, by Peter, Timothy, Titus, what does it say? What do they say? They warn them there are false teachers in the church at that time. Do false teachers appear in the church at this time, nowadays? What do you think? Now we have the Holy Spirit. We are wise. We have 2,000 years of experience. Do we still have false teachers who give us false teachings in the church? Yes? No? How do we know they are false teachers? By their fruit, okay? What are the fruits? Okay, very good. I'm sorry? Yes, preaching another gospel. There's a preacher in the other side of town who preaches. We are all God's creation. We are God's masterpiece. You are created anew in Christ Jesus so you can do the good things He planned for you a long time ago. He planned for you to get rich. He planned for you to get a promotion. You deserve that. You deserve the big house you've been dreaming for. You deserve that Cadillac, Lexus, whatever you have been dreaming for. Do I sound like him? Not yet. No, because I can't. I'm not teaching what he teaches. I don't promise you all this because God didn't promise you all this. God said, yes, you are a masterpiece created for him to do his work. What is his work? It may be to work in your workplace, to be a doctor, to be an engineer, to be a plumber, to be a janitor, to be a construction worker, to be a teacher. Yes, to do work for him through your workplaces. And that is what God has planned for Jesus to do. He comes to share the gospel, heal the sick, and chase away the devil. We are the masterpiece of God, created for him to do his work just like Jesus did. Share the gospel, heal the sick, chase out the devil. That's what we are created for. We may get rich in the process. We may be healthy in the process. We may get over 100 years old in the process. Yes, we are masterpiece, but we are created to teach, to preach, to heal, and to cast out devils. That's what we are created for. We are special. We are Christians. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are followers of Christ because we are created to do those special work. Don't be fooled by the world. Don't be fooled by the church. You come here, you get blessed. Yes, you will get blessed, but you are also a blessing to others. Don't let the blessing stop. When's the last time that you need to call a plumber when your drain doesn't work? Nobody has a plug-up drain lately. I mean, the dirty water gets out, thrown into the water in your home and whatever. Imagine that I and that stop-up drain. God blessed me so much with that blessing, and I store it all up here. What does it become? The blessing got spoiled. It got rotten. It smells. We need to let the drain flow. We are vessels of Christ. We are masterpieces. We need to let God's blessing willingly choose to let his blessings flow through us. How do we do that? We use God's blessing to bless others. When we go to visit people, we bring God's presence to them. Whatever God bless us, we use that to bless others. Not just keeping it for ourselves. If God bless us for multi-millions, we use those money to bless others too. There's also another false teaching. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. When they teach you that, they want you to make more offering. They want you to be generous to the church, to the community, so you get prosperous. Yes, you may be. But generosity doesn't mean a guarantee that you will know God. A lot of generosity is out of our own fame and our own self-pride, satisfaction, and approval. May not be from God. When people are generous, they may be expecting others too. Because what he said, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. A lot of times that we may be thinking that if we do generously, do work for others, give away money, God will bless us with more money, more fame, healthy. Maybe kids will go to Ivy League schools. They will all become doctors and engineers and lawyers. You will have perfect grandchildren. You will have perfect great-grandchildren. Not necessarily. What God teaches us is we store up our treasure in heaven. When we are generous to people, when we bless others, our reward are stored up in heaven, which will never stain, rotten, or disappear. This is our blessing. We need to watch out for false teachers. An easy way to spot what our false teachings are: does the message include God's attributes? God is both gracious and just. A lot of times we only hear messages that, oh, God is gracious. You did this, you go to Him and we forgive you. We are in New Testament. We are New Testament believers. God is gracious. Don't worry about sin. He's all forgiven. They only taught about God is gracious. Is He teaching you the same God as we believe in? Because He's only teaching you one facet of God, or one side of God, or one attribute of God. God is both gracious and just. He has grace, but it's also judgment. His judgment may be delayed, just like what He says and describes Himself in Exodus 34. He is slow to anger. His judgment is delayed. For believers, Jesus is going back to come and judge us one day. In the meantime, we also need to repent and ask for His forgiveness. So God is both gracious and just, not neither one. Second, the messages are Christ-centered. It's about Christ. It's about imitating Christ. It's about learning what Christ has done, and through that, we can do God's will by following Christ, imitating Him. That's our command. It's not about people-centered. It's not about you getting rich, I'm getting rich, I'm getting famous. It's about Christ. And lastly, the message is Spirit-filled. It's filled by the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God the Father, that can bring you wisdom to learn how to be more like Christ. A lot of times, we hear messages that are so soothing. Oh yes, God bless me so much. I'm going to continue to do well. My kids will grow up perfectly healthy. They will be multimillionaires. And the empire will go on. If it is truly a God's message, it can be irritating. It can be intimidating. It can cause you tension. Why? In New Testament, when Jesus preaches to the Pharisees and the scribes, do they like Jesus' message? They have tension. Because why? They see where they are lacking. They are not close to God. They choose to be their own God. That's why they don't like Jesus' teaching. And we don't like Jesus' teaching neither. I mean, honestly, I don't. God slowly changed my heart. Then I begin to see more and more. Because it's hard. It's tough. When I see my own darkness, it's repentance after repentance and repentance. The Holy Spirit continued to work in me to reveal my brokenness. So if you have been in church for so long or hear so many messages that they're all pleasant to you, you don't feel any irritation, any tension, then I invite you to consider to pray, to ask for guidance. Am I really hearing God's message? Lord Jesus Christ, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. All these messages I've heard, are they from you? Or are we just hearing the messages from the world? Or are we just hearing the messages from the false teachers? I ask you, encourage you. I do that all the time. And I need to remind myself, am I hearing the right message? Or is it so, I'm so far away from God, I don't even know God, so it doesn't matter to me anymore. If I don't know God, what does it matter to me? All roads lead to heaven. I am the God. No matter what I do, I'll go to heaven. It doesn't matter. I ask you, and seriously encourage every one of us to consider praying whether we are hearing the right message. The message from God. The message that God is both gracious and just. That the message points to Christ and not to us. And do we gain any wisdom after the message? The wisdom is not to do 100%, get 100% on your test. The wisdom is to discern when I did something not God-pleasing. The Holy Spirit will prompt me and I will listen. It's hard. I don't like to be wrong. I don't like to admit that I'm wrong. But with the Holy Spirit working more and more in me, I begin to feel more and more of that. So consider, if all the messages you heard, does it make a dent in your heart? Does it make a dent in your life? Have your life been transformed by the words, by the scripture, by the Holy Spirit? Now that we know that, we can be deceived by the world, we can be deceived by false teachers. How do we go to heaven? Last thing we talk about is going to be deceived by the heart. Let's read this together. In verse 21, it said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. When we become Christians, we get baptized, we were promised, guaranteed to go to heaven. What happened? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. What happened? Who deceived us this time? I'm guilty of this. A lot of times I said, even with conversation, even with my family, with my loved ones, with my friends, I'm sorry if I hurt you. I'm sorry if I hurt you. Am I seriously, genuinely apologizing? Let me see. If I'm driving on the road, I rear-ended your car, you get out of the car, I get out of the car, we look at the cars, nothing happened, there was a dent, you were not hurt, I'm not hurt. Then do I have to say I'm sorry? If we say, I am sorry if I hurt you, then I don't have to say that. Even I say that, I may not mean it. Because I didn't hurt you, so I'm not sorry. Deep down in me is this self-righteousness. I didn't do anything wrong. I did everything right. You were hurt because you were weak. You don't like what I do. It's your problem, not mine. I'm only apologizing out of so-so righteousness, social consciousness. I do it to make it look good. I don't mean it because I didn't do anything wrong. I am sorry if I hurt you. I didn't hurt you. I don't have to apologize. This is the message I am speaking from my heart. It's hard. Saying the three words are very hard. I am sorry. When was the last time you say, I'm sorry? You forgot it? Okay. Let's practice. Say, I'm sorry to at least two persons next to you. Say, I am sorry. Next to a person, at least two persons, that I am sorry. Say, I am sorry to at least two persons next to you. You can say it with a laugh. How did you feel when people say, I'm sorry to you? Did you feel the person is genuine? Did you feel that person is sincere? Did you feel that person is really mean it? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. If you cannot feel that, are you really apologizing? Or am I really apologizing? I'm not. When was the last time you say to God, I'm sorry? I'm sorry, God. When was it? When I say I'm sorry to God, what was I sorry for? God, forgive my sins. You have forgiven. Your grace, your good, you are so kind. You know my heart. I cannot do right, but help me forgive all my sins. Do you think those sins are forgiven? It's up to you. I don't know. Depends on your relationship with God. But if you remember the Lord's Prayer, what does it say? When the disciples say the Lord's Prayer, forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Before we ask for forgiveness, have we start forgiving others? Forgive our debts as we have forgiven others. If we cannot forgive, we cannot ask for forgiveness. We may continue to ask, but it's not going to deliver. It's already said. Forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. That is a condition. Jesus has washed us clean by his blood. We are believers of Christ. We are sons and daughters of God the Father, brothers and sisters of Christ. But we continue to sin and continue to have daily washing, daily repentance. And before those daily repentance can happen, we need to forgive. And that is a condition. Forgive our debtors as we have forgiven those who have trespassed against us. It's a hard message. And that was from Matthew 6. Matthew 12 is even more serious. Matthew 12, 34 and 36. Jesus is going to judge every careless word that we speak. Every careless word that we speak. Why? For mouth speaks from that which fills our heart. If we have careless words that comes out from our mouth, where does it come from? Where do they come from? They come from the careless heart inside us. And Jesus is going to judge every careless word. Matthew 12, 36. So next time when I say I'm sorry, I better mean it. When you say you're sorry, I hope you mean it with sincerity, wholeheartedly, and a repentant heart. This is serious. We are going to be judged. We know we're going to heaven as believers, but we're also going to be judged by every careless word that we say. A lot of times, we deceive ourselves without knowing it. When others deceive us, we can feel irritated. We can feel we are victimized. What happened if I deceive myself? I don't feel that. That is so bad. That's why I ask, are you aware that you've been deceived without knowing it? Yes. For me, yes. I don't know about you. For me, it's yes. I have been deceived by myself. My heart deceived me. And I have been deceived. And I don't even feel it. Because I'm the one who deceived. Thanks God, it's Christ, and there is hope. So how do we get to know Jesus? How do we get through that narrow gate? Let's read this together. 21b, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, on that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty work in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Here, Jesus asks us to pray. Asks us to pray. What is he asking us to do? First is to do the will of my Father. This is the first time in Matthew that Jesus said, he is my Father. Not only Father. He is doing his Father's will. If we are sons and daughters of God the Father, we better do his will. Because his Father, which is our Father, who is in heaven. Do the will of God. How do we know we're doing the will of God? We need to pray and ask him, what is the will? What is his will for us? We need to pray. And said, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? We have done so many things. We go to church. We read the Bible. We teach Sunday schools. We lead small groups. We go to visit the people who are sick. We do good works. We bring food to the poor. Are we doing God's work? How come they'll say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and he doesn't know us? There is a difference. For those who pray that they know the Lord, they know this is the will of God. Lord, am I doing this for you? Am I going into this hospital room, this patient, to see this patient with your love, with your presence to care for him? Or am I doing this just to fulfill my quota so I'll look good, that I have done generous work? I'm a caring person, and I pray, Lord, Lord, then on the judgment day, then we know for sure that we are doing God's work, and Jesus knows us. If not, it will be the first time you prayed, Lord, Lord, we did all this. How come you don't know me? Don't get surprised. We can be easily deceived by our heart. And indeed, I am. I have been. I still am. There are things that my heart can see will deceive me. But go to the Lord. Have a relationship with him. Pray to him. Lord, Lord, am I doing your work? Am I doing Father's will? In the same chapter, chapter 7, he said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Jesus is always there. It's about whether we want to talk to him. We want to go to him. Don't be a stranger to him. Don't wait until the final judgment day and say, Lord, Lord, why don't you know me? Because we have never asked him. Go to him. Lord, Lord, am I doing your Father's will? And then we renew that we will depart from lawlessness. Only Jesus can save us. Because in Titus 2:14 it said, Jesus gave himself up for us to redeem us from all lawlessness. Only through Jesus that we can do the will of God and obey God's law. And God's law is ultimately in Matthew 22. Love your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And love your neighbors. Jesus, only Jesus can give us those love. Give me the love to love people. Jesus gives me the love to walk into every patient's room. When I knock on the door, I go in with Jesus. I go in with his love to represent Jesus, to bring Jesus' blessing to them, to bring them peace, hope, and forgiveness, and freedom. That's the only way to be a worker of the law. Because Jesus came to fulfill the law and not to abolish the law. Only through Jesus that we can also fulfill God's law. It's by his blood. So we can go. And until that day of judgment, then Jesus will say to us, you good and faithful servant. Instead of telling you, are the workers of lawlessness. It's up to you to choose to be a good and faithful servant or to be a worker of lawlessness. It's all your choice. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this message. You are love. You are grace. You are kindness. You are majestic. You are compassionate. You are imperfect. On the other hand, you are also sacrificial. Father God, may your Holy Spirit be with us. May we arise above our superficialness to be sacrificial like you, like Jesus. Father God, we thank you for this message. You have given us choices to choose to believe in the world or to believe in you. To believe in the true teacher, Jesus, or the false teachers. And to believe in your heart and not our deceitful ones. Father God, may your Spirit be with us. May we come to you every day and say, Lord, Lord, I am sorry. I'm sorry because I hurt this little brother by saying things I shouldn't say, by saying things that not out of your love, but out of condemnation and pride. Forgive us of our pride, of self-righteousness, and of self-centeredness. Father God, also promise to pray, Lord, Lord, are we doing your will? Are we doing the things that you have in mind for us, that you have planned for us? And we are your masterpieces to do your work according to your will. Father God, help us. We need you. We need God the Father. We need God the Son. And we need God the Holy Spirit to promise to lead us and to walk with us every day. Father God, we will bring us blessing so we can be a vessel of your blessings to one another. Father God, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.